Oh my God, in this season we have two sisters from London who we're gonna find out how, like, where have they come from? What do they do? They look identical, but they're not. They're Indian, but they're not. Like, they haven't lived in India, but they love India. They also don't have very high tolerance for spice. So it's gonna be an exciting episode.
Well, Santu, welcome to Let's Get Ugly. What an alternative start to our usual episode.
Obviously, your work as a creative director, your journey of redefining what digital content means, and your mentoring is nothing short of inspiring, honestly. So we're really excited to chat to you about that.
It is kind of incredible when we talk about your career. It's been so fun,
And so long.
so long, but mega impactful. And I think this is my personal favorite question. What is one quirky or unexpected story you always find yourself telling people about us?
Oh, that I became friends with my teacher. To give a little bit of a backstory, I was working in India for about 14 years, not 14, 15 years. I started when I was really young, I think 19. During the whole Brian Boy, Susie Bubble blog explosion when they were sitting in front row at Dolce & Gabbana. That moment marks around the world for a lot of people who are starting in digital landscapes in their countries as one of those dates in calendar when you just trace everything from there. So then I had worked for many years and then I decided to study and then people were like shocked. My friends were like laughing at it for They still laugh at it for months. They're like, why would you want to study at the peak of your career after I've directed so many covers, commercials, videos, everything, right? And then I said, no, you know, I will have fun. I will enjoy. It'll be fab as a senior citizen going to study. And then I just was here. And everybody is closer to my age than they are to the other, my batchmates. So then I was like, who's gonna be my friend? So Trisha was my first teacher friend.
Adorable,
Yeah, that's a great
adorable.
story. That's a very like, oh, who is she? I'm like, oh, she's my teacher and my friend. They're like, oh.
Gosh, and what a pleasure it must have
Yeah, in India
been.
we call it nepotism, but
Santu is the biggest Nepo baby.
Nepo baby.
He
I
is.
wish I was. I feel like I'm Nepo adjacent now.
Yeah.
But I came from like a village. Like, you know, I came from like Guwahati. I grew up in a very like middle class family, but I never felt like I was deprived or like I didn't have enough. My parents were like, you will have everything, you know? And I felt great. I was always into arts. I was always into studies. Then once you grow up, you sort of very much thought that you're gonna go out to Delhi or Bombay, the bigger cities, quote unquote, or Bangalore, like the three or four bigger cities. These cities like Guwahati, now they have become very advanced in like the last 15 years. But back in the day, like in the 2010s, they didn't have school. Even 2000s, actually, not even the 10, like before that, they didn't have higher education, quote unquote, scope, or they didn't have like career scope. So they eventually had to like move. So when people say like, oh my God, you're so privileged, you're so like whatever, I'm just like, no. Like, you know, I came from like whatever. It's not a drama story. It's not a, you know, like I swam with the sharks or like crossing the pond or the river to go to school. None of that. We had school bus. But I wish I was a Nepo baby. Life would be so much easier. I wouldn't be as talented.
I think so.
Yeah,
I think so.
I definitely agree. I mean, you've worked with so many major platforms back in India, and you've really shaped how digital content was consumed for them and shaped a lot of interesting strategies for sure. I mean, what were the most kind of pivotal moments in your career that pushed you towards becoming the creative director you are today?
Nobody has asked me the way you have asked me this question. I feel like it's so like you put thought to it. So thank you for that. And I feel the platforms have also shaped me, who I have become. Because I remember when I was 19, it was the Blogspot Tumblr era, and then I had a mini blog called The Devil Wore, which doesn't exist anymore, which I don't have the
Login details.
I don't know the login details, and then the Blogspot one day switched and expired and we lost all data. Something happened, I don't remember, but it's gone. And I used to shoot street style, borrowing a camera from one of my design teachers, who was this like divorced, like 5'10", statuesque, Dior wearing, stiletto, like epic. The first day in my BA in design school, she told me, why are you here? And it was such a, like, I was in Delhi and I'd come from Guwahati. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, I'm paying so much money. She's like, you don't need it. She's like, you're going to drop out and you're going to not finish this and you're going to do better than anybody in this room. And she said that out loud and made me so nervous. I was like, relax. And then I became friends with her. She was like, this man has divorced me and this man has left me and, you know, I don't care about this man. And you want one tear glass? Take one. Take my camera. Go shoot. And she was almost like mothering, but in a way that was like tough love. So I'll never forget her. She left education and went and became a wildlife photographer. Wild. But yeah, I started then, had the blog, went on to launch many e-commerce platforms, work for this group called Fashion and You, the biggest platform in 2009. They were doing something which was revolutionary, even by today's standards. And today it's a very it thing to do. Back in the day it wasn't. They were selling old season stock in flash sale. The flash sale was called Going Gone. If you were a designer, they would take your stuff and then they would sell it. 25 minutes flat, sold, everything sold.
Wow.
Inventory gone. Like, they were incredible. It was a humongous organization. Same time as Net-a-Porter. And they wanted me to sort of launch a Net-a-Porter edit that would flip through, similar to that, and clickable and shoppable. So I launched India's first shoppable magazine. Then I worked at an agency, at a luxury agency, launched their digital. Then I went to Bombay for a year, hated it.
Wow.
So much.
Gosh.
I've always been a Delhi boy. Hated Bombay. Ran back to Delhi and then I joined IDEMA. The rest is history.
Oh my gosh. I mean, it sounds like quite a journey, but hating Bombay, I think, broke our hearts a little bit.
Now I love it because I don't live there. When you are just there for work and then you leave and go back versus when you live there full time are two completely different things.
I think that Bombay is almost like, I would say, the hub, right? Like, when it comes to internationalization.
It depends on how you look at it.
Okay.
Bombay has certain things, Delhi has certain things. Delhi traditionally always had the designers, the art, the factories, you know, the production, fashion, seasons. Bombay doesn't have seasons.
Yeah.
Delhi also has better food, sorry. Oh. I'm gonna get killed, but... And yeah, Delhi is more dressed up, right?
Yes.
Delhi has different things. The first luxury mall was in Delhi, DLF Emporio. Luxury spends are better in Delhi than in Bombay. Bombay now has always had Bollywood. So it is a very Bollywood lens towards life. Because a lot of people who work in the industry also sort of operate in Bombay. And Bombay has different kinds of food. Obviously, coastal doesn't have seasons. It's always warm. Their winter is like 25 degrees.
Dream.
Their winter is like, oh, it's winter. What? 25 degrees? They're like, yeah, it's so cold. Yeah.
But speaking of Bombay housing talent.
But speaking of Bombay housing, can we talk about Bombay housing first?
Yeah.
Bombay housing is this much. Delhi housing is this much. I was in COVID in Delhi with my best friend who used to live in Bombay, and we both discussed and agreed that we would never survive the COVID in Bombay. Because
really,
wouldn't have happened.
I was gonna say, you have created, curated, identified, and scouted digital icons.
Monsters.
What was your process for identifying and amplifying their talent? How did you help them craft their digital voice?
My God. So, okay, I haven't said this out loud, right? I just didn't know what I was doing. When I joined Times Group, which is IDEMA, Men's XP, India Times, all of that cluster website, they were doing ginormous numbers. 25 million page views a month, 8 million page views a month.
Wow.
Unique visitors a month. That was a time when Facebook Watch was trying to become Netflix, become long-form video content hub. The video has to be 3 minutes. So there was a contract that was given to the Times Group and other publishers that you have to produce X number of video and upload it and you get paid for it. And the publishers wanted to become video platforms at that time because they realized that people are reading lesser and lesser and lesser. And the ad spends would get eventually become concentrated in video content. They took me upstairs. It was a room, literally a room like this. Literally, it's giving me deja vu. And there would be the chroma screen. They installed a green screen, had an in-house team. So a sound guy, a DOP, an assistant, and we would get dates, like we would get alternate dates when we could shoot in the studio and we would fight for it, right? They said you would lead one platform, you would lead IDEMA. And I was like, me? Lead? Video? I've never done video in my life. Most of all, I've never directed video in my life. I don't even know what a green screen is, or like how you cut chroma. Like I was like, I don't know anything. They're like, we don't care. You are doing IDiva. One person was given Manjushri, one person was given Indian Times. Each website had a different combination of content they would do. I was only doing women's lifestyle content. Then I was like, what are we gonna do? Everybody was like making sketches outside, finding houses, locations, and I was like, I'm not doing anything. I'm gonna sit, make everything on green screen, we're gonna change the color of the screen, it's gonna be pop of color, girls are gonna be wearing lipstick, jewelry, makeup, fashion, and look fun. Because I was like, there's no fun content before that. It was all DD content. Every sister ever, every sister during Rakhi, younger sibling, older sibling fighting in houses. Very popular stream of content.
Wow, okay.
Very, very popular, well-written, but in a house.
Right.
So they would light up the house, they would shoot at the house, and they would spend days. I was like, I don't give a shit. I don't want to do that rubbish.
Yeah.
I want to produce types of girls. Mine was types of girls. There are things that nobody spoke about online in a fun way. How girls in India find it difficult to go to concerts and because men are roping them or behaving badly, like in crowds, like it's a real issue in cities like Delhi, Bombay, even in smaller cities, right?
Wow.
But I was like, I don't want to make it sad. Because I did one sad video which did 12 million views. Like, the views were like on a different league.
Yeah.
It was I think the Facebook gates were open at that time. And my CEO, Angad Bhatia, who sort of one of my biggest mentors in terms of just like letting me do what the fuck I wanted. And he looked at me and he said, never make a sad video again. I was like, but it's done numbers, it's done views. He said, I don't care. I said, I don't want to see this. And even if you want to talk about serious topic, make it fun. BuzzFeed Ladylike was very good at that. They were geniuses in that aspect. Green screen, me, and writers. These are website, fashion, beauty writers. I said, come on, you are all stars from today. You guys are all talent. You guys are all Karinas of the world. We winged it. And
wow.
Nothing was written, no scripting. Everything was improv.
Wow, that's amazing.
And then they became stars. And that was the foundation of influencers. Before, there were no influencers.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
The first batch, I feel, of true influencers, like the Kushas, the Komals, the Dollies of the world came from platforms. Platforms created the first influencers. I mean, before that, there was Malika Dua, and before that, there was AIB. But I feel like they were more comic, but they were doing incredible content, right? Malika had done South Delhi Girl, or a version of South Delhi Girl before,
mm-hmm.
right? Very funny. Like, but she was doing it in like locations and houses, whatever. And I was like, but I want to just like make them wear a bag and just stand against the screen and talk rubbish, you know. Nobody's doing that. So I was the lazy one. Do I spend the budgets? My product team has told me that either I can spend it pushing the videos out to more number of people.
Yeah.
Or I can spend it in production. The call is yours. Because the product guy, I remember, he looked at me. His name was Ramji. He looked at me and he said, Sattu, you just are like a bulldozer. I remember, I don't know what had gotten into me. I had no friends those 4 or 5 years. No friends, no life. I was only working 16, 17, 18 hours a day. I don't know how many videos I've made. By the end of it, I had like 600, 700 million video views.
Wow.
That's,
those are just numbers you don't hear.
No,
anymore.
No.
Yeah.
Unless it's TikTok.
Top tier. No, you hear that in top tier influencers or very big TikTok.
Yeah.
But TikTok also you can't guarantee. We were guaranteeing this number.
Yeah, that's true. That's so true. My gosh.
I'm in shock at the numbers, honestly.
Okay. The first South Delhi girl that became blockbuster was when we collaborated with Ria Kapoor. So I knew Ria from my blogging days. She was really fond of me. I'm really fond of her. She told me, I have a movie with Bebo. With Sona, do you want to do something? And I said, what? Like, nobody has done anything like this before. Platform comedy, funny content, integration with movie wasn't done. I started it in India. After that, everybody did it.
Yeah.
We ourselves did 10 or 12 marquee movies with actors. Before that, actors would never do these platforms. They would do traditional interviews like this, or traditional news media channel, or magazines. Be in a sketch, to be in a funny video, they wouldn't do that. We did that. Ria was way ahead of her time to even see, to have the foresight, to be able to like give us that space. They booked us a studio. They managed the studio. They managed the girls. Because the girls are, of course, the girls. Right?
They're girls.
They're the girls. So they have to be given the, you know, whatever. And we arrived in Bombay. We shot. I used to upload everything myself. And I used to do all the tagging myself. Because I was superstitious. That if I wouldn't upload myself and tag myself, the video wouldn't perform. I had done that for years. I would upload myself and go to sleep. We did the wedding. South Delhi girls woke up to 55 million views in for us.
Yes, amazing.
Across platforms.
Amazing.
It was wild.
That is so wild. And I think like something that you've touched on as well in this discussion is the importance of relatability, right? Within 100%. How you've been storytelling. And what I find really interesting about your work is because you don't just have an Indian audience, like you do have a global one. So how do you manage to capture the cultural nuances to ensure that your content appeals to global audiences?
Honestly, Indians are everywhere, right? Look at us. We're all Indian origin. I saw that when we went to shoot in Australia. It was a sponsored thing for South Delhi Girls. South Delhi Girls take Melbourne. South Delhi Girls take whatever, right? It was a pain thing. And I never gave them a script. In Melbourne, in like Brisbane, like people coming up to us and saying, can you do Kokubaya? Can you do Sunita? I was like, what is happening? Because of the idea that Indians truly are everywhere and truly global. South Delhi, South Bombay are something that people like to hate on. They love it, they hate it. It's a very love and hate relationship. It transcends like age groups. It transcends boundaries. It transcends what people can understand. Everybody can enjoy it. It's not difficult, right? We also did Hinglish so that people could understand. Not everything need be...
intense.
Not everything... I kept hearing my CEO's voice who kept saying, don't do this serious activism. Bring your activism or bring whatever change you're trying to do in a very relatable, easy way. It doesn't need to be so hard-hitting to make an impact. You can bring an impact by just being, just showcasing diverse girls exist on the screens and people seeing them and people coming along. This just journey is enough. And I feel like that was revolutionary.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah, because I feel like we chase this idea of creation. Sometimes our existence is just that. We are creating just by being. And I think all of us forget it sometimes. And we want to go out of the way and create it. It's not always required, I feel.
What's one piece of advice you'd give to someone who wants to follow in your footsteps with regards to breaking into creative direction? If we look at your role, would I necessarily exclusively call you a creative director? No, I would just call you a creative.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, what you've done is anything and everything, and you do it well. And
but you do a lot of the things that we spoke about it, that I do, and you do it really well. Because of, I feel, the era that we have grown up in. For example, when I came, I saw around me specialists.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere, people were specialists. And I was like, but I'm not a specialist. People would ask me and I was like, I can do everything.
Yeah.
Even here, I feel like people get so shocked.
Yeah.
When you tell them that I'm not a specialist, and I asked you and you was like, don't bother. Like, no. Don't care. I was like, dude, does it bother you, Tishna, that, you know, like, you are not a specialist, but you specialize in many different things. You do them really well. But you are not just this or just that. And I saw specialists, stylist, photographer. And I was like, I don't want to be specialist. I want to be master and jack of all trades.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because also I get bored and my ADHD would never allow.
Right.
Like, I get really bored. That was the main reason to come and study. Because I got bored. And I look around and then people don't inspire me. And I need new flesh and blood to get inspired from. I'm like a sponge. I need that, I think, around me. So when I was looking around me in India, and also growing up, I feel when you come from like, I don't want to be a sob, like middle class, whatever.
Yeah.
But when you come from like, yeah, because it becomes, I've never used it. Like, I've never said it. Like, I was just like, you don't know where I come from. It's fine. Like, look at my work. Your upbringing also has a lot to do with it, because then you're just on. And then you want to be able to do more and more and more. I think it's the want and the need. And as a Virgo, you want to be able to tell people no.
Yeah, that's true. That's very Virgo. I was going to say, like, when we met, I was like, definitely a Virgo. Like, yeah. I knew straight away.
I mean, I give so much Virgo energy. Like, it's too much, I feel sometimes. When I go to class, I leave, like, I have to switch off a certain part of me, because otherwise it will be so overtly, like, I will treat it like I'm going to an agency meeting or a client meeting or like friends and family pitch. That won't work, right? Because then I wouldn't be able to soak in or absorb the teachings.
Mm-hmm.
So I can adjust anywhere. I've also learned, like you said, as a creative, I've learned to do many, many things. And I've had to because the internet has evolved.
Yes.
We went from uploading coffee mugs and coffee shots, top shots, right? To books, to those hideous like filters.
Yes.
To video content, to square video, to vertical video, to really 3 second video. Like the attention span is 3 seconds, yes. Less than 3 seconds.
It's shorter than a goldfish.
Yes, we have gone the whole arc. So if anybody who didn't evolve just got left behind,
That's so true.
I think it's true. I mean, like, obviously, when it comes to your work and how you were at the start of your career, what would you give as advice to yourself in hindsight, looking back on it now?
All the mistakes I made. Nothing, actually.
Nothing.
Honestly, I thought about the other day. I am doing what I did when I was 19, which is shoot photograph again. And I used to borrow, I remember, 450D from my teacher and shoot with that. And because I didn't have the money to afford a camera, and now I can buy a camera and shoot it myself. Joking with my friend Ambika, who's the editor of Femina. And she said, you've gone back to like doing what you started. Like, I feel I don't want to disrupt or take away anything in my journey, because it has just made me the person that I am, given me the kind of knowledge and trust and belief. My pool of knowledge is
huge.
Right? Because also that's something I pride in. Like, I can look at something, learn instantly, and I never forget it. I would not change anything, because if I feel like if I disrupt anything in the river of time, it would take away from the person that I'm sitting here talking to you guys today.
Fair enough. And speaking of which, I love this question. So if you had to describe your creative process as a dinner menu,
oh my God,
what would the courses be?
This is going to be absurd, but it is what it is.
Love it.
Egg fried rice, butter chicken from Moti Mahal,
okay,
paneer makhni, bhindi fry, chili chicken or chili paneer, both maybe, because vegetarian, non-vegetarian. One Indian Chinese chow mein, maybe some greens, like a green saute or whatever, and dessert.
What dessert?
Gulab jamun, rasgulla, because I'm a bomb. And maybe two different kinds of rasgulla. Ice cream from Naturals, tender coconut. Oh my God, or sitafal. Life changing.
Need it now.
Oh, you need it now.
Literally, why are we not going to India soon?
Yeah.
It's a very like Delhi menu. I feel like this is something that would happen in Delhi. Like Indian and Chinese mix, like that.
Bomb.
Yes.
That is the bomb.
That is the bomb. I mean, if you had to direct a campaign starring the two of us, what would the theme and tagline be?
Oh my God. Bad sisters.
Bad sisters. I love that. We always joke about how random life is.
Yeah.
And I was going to ask, if you could create a viral campaign out of a favorite conversation, what would it be about?
Okay, so you know what I'm obsessed with right now? When Kareena said, Jaldi karo, ghar jana hai, khana khana hai, 12 baj gaye hai. Like, it's such a great mentality to wrap up things, and I feel like it can be used anywhere. End of year, you can use it when you have to go home, you have to use it when you want to end a bad date, you can use it when to get out of a sticky situation. Second thing is when back in the knots, when there was an exchange between Kareena and Bebo, but through coffee with Karan, to Karan Johar, where she said, so where do you get your accent from? The reply is, same place that your boyfriend gets it from.
That's epic.
That is epic.
We have used it in many, many situations.
Stealing those.
So where do you get your accent from?
Same place your boyfriend gets his from.
That's it for Coffee with Karan.
Okay, before you go, we have 3 quick fire beauty questions. We ask these to every guest. Are you ready?
Yeah.
What's one beauty rule you love breaking?
Honestly, I don't wear beauty much, but I do love, I'm wearing Augustinus Bader now.
Of course you are.
So I love a good moisturizer. My skin also, I feel like brown skin also like reacts differently in weather situations.
Yes.
Like I break out in the cold, my skin becomes insanely good in the summer. Because like, I feel like we're used to heat. In India now, boy beauty is becoming a big thing. And I'm seeing it across South Asia where men, queer or otherwise, wearing makeup, wearing foundation, like even like wearing concealer.
I love that.
Oh my God. I love that.
It's amazing.
Policing of beauty needs to stop. Everybody and anybody who wants to put beauty, wear beauty, should be allowed. Allowed what? It's your money. You're spending it.
Yeah.
So do it shamelessly. Like, beauty is something that anybody can do. Whether you are a cishet, cis, trans, queer, gay. You're part of any rainbow. No matter where you fit, you should have the liberty and you should have the judgment-free support around you to do beauty. All the lip glosses now have tint. Mm-hmm. Hailey Bieber has done an incredible job.
Yes, she has.
Right? Rode lip glosses are like 10 on 10. So the only rule break advice or the rule I see that people break are like, everybody should be allowed to do beauty.
Love that. If you could give your younger self one piece of beauty advice, what would it be?
Wear sunscreen.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah, because I didn't know about sunscreen until 28.
Oh my gosh. Wow. I was going to say, your skin still looks good though.
Some days.
Someday.
I should have worn the Chanel tint. Chanel tint is also epic. It makes it look like airbrushed.
I love that. Love that. So, what's a beauty moment, good or bad, that you'll never forget, that you've witnessed?
Pop culture? In pop
culture? Yeah, go for it.
Aishwarya's Smurf lips, she wore what we all called Smurf-colored purple lipstick. It was like aubergine purple, lilac, like weird, on the red carpet at Cannes. It was iconic.
But was it ugly?
It was ugly at that time.
Yeah.
Now, it's quite revolutionary to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Second beauty moment would be Dimple Kapadia's hair.
Okay.
Hair moment.
Yeah.
That's the hair I feel like girls all over the world aspire. That blow dry. She's the queen of that blow dry hair.
It's so true. The big bouncy blow dry.
The big bouncy, the big sexy. We used to call it the cosmopolitan hair. Because Cosmo magazine used to always have that blow dry. Right?
Yeah.
Third would be Rekha and her lipsticks.
I love that.
Iconic.
In every era, whether it is the 90s metallic to the matte, the red blood, you know, we used to call it ox blood in back in 2010, the ox blood berry lip, which was dried, or now where she does a much more elaborate lip, but you can never tell what color, you can never tell what product, cause she's never sort of endorsed or whatever. It just is so mysterious. It's Rekha, like the eternal. She's our Madonna.
Yeah, right. She is. Yeah.
She is Madonna.
Before we wrap up, we've got Disha with some oracle cards who's going to do a reading for you today.
Yes. Should I say how your assignment's going to go?
I feel like how my 2025 is going to go.
I'm feeling this one. Ooh, spiritual warrior. So basically with this card, it is essentially for your next year, and we're coming out a lot of retrogrades right now. So yeah. To start 2025, it'll be a good time to amp up any spiritual practices that you may do and just kind of be prepared and come into the year fresh.
Satu, thank you so much for sharing your creative journey with us. Your insights into storytelling, content creation, and championing emerging talent are truly inspiring. And of course, all the laughs along the way really made this conversation unforgettable.
Thank you for this episode of Let's Get Ugly. We were here with the Bad Sisters, who gave no insight on why they have become bad. But what we learned in this episode is our culture will always live forever. See you next time. Get another episode of Let's Get Ugly.